Evening, Professor. How are we doing?
It's a good night, needless to say. Spring out here.
Yeah. Love it.
It's 72.
I don't know.
Enjoy the journey with the sunshine. Oh my
It's
goodness.
springtime.
Well, that may go along with our topic tonight, please.
Let's see, what do we got? We got something about retiring. My job is stressing me out. Should I retire?
Isn't that what springtime's about? Or do most people do it at the end of the year?
We need to get out and enjoy the beautiful weather. We at least don't want to go to work as much when it's nice out. I know
Oh my goodness. That may be the answer to the question.
that.
Don't go to work as much so we don't have to retire. No, tonight when we deal with the masters, we're going to be looking at not to retire. We'll start with a situation, at least from my perspective, where a person is having to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning so they can be prepared to get to work at 8. Buzzer goes off at 6. Slap it. 6:15, it goes off again. 6:30, and then you're like, man, this will be the fourth time this month that if I don't show
Right,
up on time.
I think we've all felt that before.
So the individual starts thinking about retirement, how wonderful it's going to be. They're going to do traveling and yada yada. Then they start thinking though about the bad parts of retirement that some people do. Number one, do we have enough cash flow that we can do everything that we want to do? Are we going to outlive it? Then we've got, do we lose our identity? Because whatever we were doing at the job, everybody thought that we were the greatest that could do it. And now that we're not doing that job anymore and seeing people, it's like, well, what are you putting all your interest in? You know, what's your profession now? And you're like, eh, Florida. You know, I play golf. Well,
Right,
no,
right.
I travel the country in my big RV. I don't know.
Yeah.
And then the last part of that is that the friends that you had, they're probably still at work. So you may be out there on the bowling lanes all alone or out there enjoying tennis or golf, but you may be the only person there, so to speak. And the question is, do you like making new friends or not? So that's their perspective if we want to look at it. But retirement, if we sit and really think about it, retirement is not something that has been around for centuries and, needless to say, for that many years. If we think about it, going back to our, well, I would say my parents, others may say their grandparents, but even then, for me, it was not accessible. Social Security wasn't there at that time, for these that were older. So we'll just say grandparents again there. They didn't live that long. When Social Security finally did come into play, they didn't live that long after Social Security hit. Well, now we got people that they retire, and if they received it at 65, we'll say, they're living into their 80s and 90s. And of course, everybody talks about what a burden it is, you know, to Social Security, trying to pay for all that. But the answer is we're living longer. And before that time, people pretty much worked till they died. So the question really becomes, now that we have this thing called retirement that we all look forward to because it's a time of self-indulgence, I'll call it. We don't have to, you know, work for the woman, work for the man anymore. It's all about us for a change. The government owes us our Social Security check. We're going to take it, and what little retirement we get from our employer, money we save, it's time for us. Sounds good. You excited yet?
Yeah.
Good. But there's a little problem. What do Christians do when they retire? Well, you know, we hear about they give their time, some of them do, to either mentor younger people. Maybe they give their time to the church. Maybe they give their time to the soup kitchens. I'm just giving time to help. But what does the Bible say about retirement? And I'm going to say it and then we're going to go through it. And that is, the Bible only talks about retirement in one place. And I'm going to go cover that. But I want to share with you a thought, which you really need to think about it. It's a time for realignment, not a time for retirement. Realignment. Yeah, some people call it repurposing. See, folks, Let's go back to what man really was supposed to do and where work came into all of this. You may have heard, I heard once when I was younger, well, the reason you have to work is because man sinned. You got to work by the sweat of your brow, and women, they got to bless their hearts, they got to bear a child. You're going to have pain in childbearing. Really? I don't know about the latter, but the former, I want to question that one. Because let's think about when man came into existence. God created heaven and earth, la la la, and going through that in Genesis. But he then created man. Man was not sinful when man was created. We can agree to that. What was man's job that God gave him to do? He was the keeper of the garden. So what you're saying then, man already had a job when he first came. Yes, God had a job for him. He wanted to help God with the garden. That's what he wanted. Or God wanted help. God wanted Adam to help God, or he gave him that to take care of my garden, And so he could eat of the fruits and the, vegetables, and everything was good, except don't eat of this one thing, knowledge of the tree of fruit of evil. Well, we know that that happened. And now man sinned. Well, after he sinned, now work, instead of being enjoyable, becomes somewhat painful for him. But work was always on God's mind. Oh my. Are you going to keep going, or should we just stop here? No, let's keep going. Well, you said you may mention you're going to cover it. Go ahead and cover it now, because I may want to get off this video. So, where does God talk about retirement? Well, the Bible mentions retirement when we come to the Levites. And the Levites were the ones that were keepers of the tabernacle and the temple and so on. Well, they were allowed to work in the inner temple between the ages of 25 and 50. After 50, that was it. They were not allowed to work in the inner part of the temple. And you're like, well, okay, then God was giving them retirement. Well, I'm going to get there, but let's back up just a second. Why would God cut them off at age 50? Well, think about ourselves. I wear specs. Oh, you've got some on too. When did this start happening? Well, for me, it's in my late 40s. Most people, though, by the time they hit 50, or when they do hit 50, they start having little problems with their eyesight. Okay. I noticed another thing happened to me as I was starting to get older. What's that? I couldn't lift as much weight as I used to. I like lifting weights, but I'm just talking about, trying to work on the farm or whatever. I can't lift like I used to. Okay, we got it. So what's that got to do with those people? All they did was just serve inside the temple. Come on. Well, the answer is they had some jobs that required them for eyesight and also for strength. What was that? Well, somebody had to carry around the tabernacle. That thing's heavy. When you get older, you can't carry that thing like you used to. So you can say, yeah, that's about the right age. God picked the age, I didn't. But at 50, you stop. Okay. All right, I'll buy half of that. What about the other half, the eyesight? Well, another job that they had is when people came to them, the Israelites, and they had a sore, a wound, or whatever, they're the ones that made decisions about, do you need to go out here and be in this particular place over here away from all the people? And so they had to have eyesight to be, hold it. Yeah, I got my glasses on. We're okay. To see up close, to see what possibly the person had.
Hi everyone, I'm the Stoicist Lori Stitt. Are you ready to learn to match every situation you face to the Bible? I've been waiting for you. Let me teach you my STOIC training method. Learn to keep that continuous connection with God from now forward, forever. Join me at StoicMatchmaker.com, where all my training materials are free on registration.
And when you get over 50, and if you're like me now, and I take my glasses off, I'm like, whoa, I'm not seeing too well. So I couldn't necessarily see what type of skin disease or what was occurring there on their bodies. It made sense. But you just said God told them to retire. No. God told them to realign. He told them to repurpose. He told them that they could assist with helping those others that were in the 25 and 50. So they weren't in the inner sanctum, so to speak, but they were on the outside, and the younger people could come and receive guidance from them. They were still helpful, but their plan of action changed.
Yeah, like mentors.
That is correct. And they could still talk with the people and so on. It's just when someone comes with them for a particular disease or whatever, they couldn't see it as well. But that doesn't mean that the younger 25 to 50 couldn't come to them. This is what we got. It's turning green, the fingernail's falling off. And they could tell them, well, this is what it typically is. We just can't see it, as
Right.
well.
Right.
So you'll do the diagnosis, the younger person. I'm sorry, that's the way it is. The younger person can see well, but I will tell you. It's like just going to a dictionary, so to speak. I will tell you based on the symptoms what that person probably has.
Right.
So they were constantly giving information down the chain.
That makes sense.
So I could end our session here, but I don't know. Can I keep going just for fun? Okay, good. Well, I want to tell you a couple of things that the Bible has to say about our final days. And so I could start off and say that our goal is that we need to finish life well. We need to make it to the end. And by the way, God looks at, according to the scripture, some of our best days of service to Him are in the end and not the beginning. Wow, why would that be? Well, maybe we learned a few things. I don't know. But the reason for that, and this is what I perceive, and the literature has been somewhat supportive, and the Bible verses speak to it, is that we have wisdom at that time. Believe it or not, we've learned something. We've got something to share with those that are coming abroad, so to speak, whether it be in their professions and life. We've got some wisdom to give back to them. The book of Proverbs says that God multiplies the days of the godly. Wow. I'm hoping I'm going to be gone by 85. That's what I'm told. And that's my date. But if I've got to keep going, maybe I'm doing better, that God feels that I'm doing a better job than what I think I am. But just hold that in mind. There is the psalmist writer who came back, and I want to read the lines to you. It's in Psalms 92, if I may do so. Starts off and says, "The righteous flourish like the palm tree and grow like a cedar in Lebanon. They are planted in the house of the Lord. They flourish in the courts of our God." Okay, righteous people, that's good. Psalms, we get it. Where's the punchline? Here's the punchline. They still bear fruit in old age. I'm going to read that one more time. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever of sap and green. SAP and GREEN. What are they talking about? They're healthy and fresh, folks. Even in their old age, it's just like when they were young, maybe even better. They still bear fruit in old age. They are ever sap and green. They're always bringing forth fruit. Something that others need. Wow. We got something to offer. Well, we could probably stop at this point, and I know we're running 13 after, so I better get to it. Where's your punchline? Well, I'm going to leave you with the punchline of the parable of the rich fool. I just can't help myself. So I'm going to ad lib a little bit here. I'm going to read some, but ad lib. Is that fair enough? Will you let me do this? Then we'll end this thing. Jesus told him a parable, the parable of a certain rich man who yielded an abundant harvest. This guy won the lottery. Let's just be honest, okay? He was with the right company and they gave a big severance package and he had a good retirement plan. I mean, thumbs up to this guy, okay? And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store all my money. I'm sorry, all my crops." And he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain." Well, look at him go. And I said to myself, "You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." That's us. I got a good severance package. I got money saved up. I'm going to Florida. I'm going to turn around and sit on the beach, matas, lattes, whatever. And I'm going to bowl when I want. I'm going to do a little golfing, which I haven't done that much in my life. It is me time, now time. Okay. And what does Jesus say that God said to him? Now, remember, this is applicable to us today. And I hope I got it in the right terms here. And he says, God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you." And then he says something that just really galls me even more. Jesus said, "Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" My kids. Yeah. If you go back to the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon made a statement that all this hard work you do and all this wealth you put together, guess what? You got to leave it for the next man. Who do you think he's talking about? Your kids. Now, I'm not against children, don't get me wrong, but they're not going to honor that, if you want to call it, as much as you did. Why? Because you're the one who put the sweat out. You're the one that had to make the decisions of when I was going to spend and not spend, and I didn't spend as much. Come on, folks, let's be honest. If you get an inheritance from your parents, what are you going to do? Go out and buy that Mercedes immediately, maybe a Corvette? Not a bad idea. You may not think of all the hard sweat and blood that went into that. But Jesus then said, this is how it would be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. I'm going to say it again, where we started. We don't retire. It's time that we turn around and repurpose ourselves, realign ourselves, helping others, giving if we do have money. And we see a lot of people that give that have made very well in life. And we can say, because the Bible talks about God sometimes rewards people with money who know how to handle money as Christians. But never let the money be what you are coveting, if that's what you want, because you want to get to retirement and do nothing. Because, folks, those last final days of your life are the most important days. If you ask me, based on what I've been studying here, that's when you give it your all, because you've got a lot to give. That, boss.
Awesome stories there.
We can't retire.
Except for that. I'm just teasing.
How about what our parents used to say? Moderation.
Right. Everything
Moderation.
in moderation. Like you said, I mean, when you retire, there's other things that are still to be done.
There are other
You
things.
can help your children, with
That is correct. You
grandchildren,
have
with the
grandchildren.
church, giving, mentoring, many things.
And folks, just as we all know, every day that you live longer, you've got more wisdom than the next person beside of you. It may not be as good as theirs, you may say, but it's better than those that are underneath them in age. We've all got something to give.
Right.
You just have to pay attention to what they need to hear. And you say, but they don't want to hear. Well, get it to where they do want to hear.
Right.
Share it to them. Commend them. I've always found in life when I was being a leader, if I commended somebody for what they were doing and then share a little story with them why I felt like that was so great. And if I had known that at their age, how much better I would be.
Yeah.
Because they figured out something quicker than I did.
Right. And I know you do that a lot, which they're thankful.
Well, that's
That
because
part
I was a
is
slow learner
Well, I'm
life.
saying that, you help the youngers.
You have to.
Yeah.
It's our jobs.
And even, grandparents. Don't forget your grandparents
Oh.
if they're still alive. Or your parents, they're there. They're there on the mount if they're at their house, Just don't forget about them and leave them there. Get their wisdom because they got a lot of it.
Well, that's another story we could take up in the future. But
Yeah.
the answer is, we're always to take care of our elders. Always have respect for them and take care of them.
All right, well, I guess we'll keep working, but just differently.
Thank you. I like that.
And that's okay.
All right, boss.
All
Have
right, well, thanks for joining us, everyone.
a good weekend. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.